One, two, three, four, just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day, yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
Welcome back. We missed you. I hope you all enjoyed the Flat Earth debate that aired last week. We are back live in the studio. I'm Ryan with Dave.
Hello.
And Bobby.
How you doing? 2 weeks off, guys.
I know, right?
I missed you guys.
Ah, the feeling is not mutual, but I mean, thank you. Thank you. It's flattering.
Me and Jarvis hung out yesterday.
Yeah, we did hang out yesterday. We went to the river, me and Dave and Groobs. That was a lot of fun.
Nice.
We purposely didn't invite you because you just fucking analyzed rocks the whole time or something weird. Anyway.
Yeah, how shitty would that be if somebody was just imparting knowledge on you while you were out doing something fun? How horrible would that be to mix learning and a good time?
You sound like every fucking teacher right before they had like a meltdown in the classroom.
Like, sounds like he's about to do an educational rap.
You know that... You know that teacher that would fucking flip out and have like a way inappropriate meltdown in front of the class? Like, they were usually the guy that like tried to build himself as the fun, hip teacher, but it was clear that was just thinly veiling like how unstable they were.
Oh, yeah.
And then before you knew it, finally they'd be like, God damn it! I tried to do a fun fucking activity and this is how you fucking repay me! Like, kicks over the projector. You sons of bitch! You ungrateful little monster! Take out your textbooks! We're reading! We're reading now! Are you happy? And like, the whole class just sits there like, holy shit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's Bobby.
That is how most of my inner tubing trips go, actually.
You know, thinking about it, like, do you guys ever think back on stuff that grown-ups in a position of authority, or maybe even not, have you ever thought back of an incident that at the time you're like, oh shit, I was bad, and then think later like, that was inappropriate. I'm hoping this doesn't take a turn for the sexual.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm not talking about straight up molestation. Obviously, that's the creme de la creme of realization.
Right.
But I'll give you an example. When I was about, I'm going to say sixth grade. Yes. No. Fifth grade. I used to hang out with this guy, Ross McKee. He was my best friend. And it was that friend that you'd be at their house or they'd be at your house every single weekend. One of you was always spending the night at each other's house. And he was involved in a lot of activities. So if I was staying at his house on a Friday night after school, I'd have to tag along to him to whatever club he was in. Sometimes it was a boxing class. Sometimes it was, you know, in this instance, it was a chess club. He belonged to a chess club. And
really eclectic group there, yeah, huh? Right? I wouldn't have called those two.
I know, yeah. It's
a strange mix.
Maybe that's what I liked about the kid. He's well-rounded. Anyway, I never told him this, but my Uncle Ralph taught me chess when I was in kindergarten. And that's a weird thing for a little kid to learn. That's not something typically a little kid learns. By the time I was in fifth grade, I was actually pretty good at it, but I never brought it up because I was dorky enough without people knowing I was pretty good at chess. I'm not saying I could beat the Russian computer, but I could do my shit. So anyway...
Is there a Russian computer?
I like the idea that like Ryan is basically the flip of every 1980s movie where the kid or the dude is secretly a martial arts master, but nobody knows until they pick a fight with
him
in an alley.
Yeah.
He's the secret chess guy. Who's that gruff-looking six-year-old with the long sideburns and the raspy voice? I don't know, but he plays a mean king game.
They call him Bishop. Anyway, I tagged along with him. I didn't even tell my friend Ross I knew how to play chess. I wasn't even planning on playing. Like, I was just going to sit there for an hour, and then we're going to go to his house and play Nintendo. It was going to be awesome. So anyway, I'm sitting there. The chess guys, the guys running this class, it's like in a learning annex somewhere, you know? And they come up, and they're like, would you like to learn how to play chess? And I'm like, actually, I already know. He's like, it's not checkers, you know. He's like talking down to me. Now, I don't know.
Bobby, this is that scene in your movie where they're like bullying him.
Yeah, this is exactly that
instead
scene.
Instead of finding out he knows martial arts or finding out he knows chess, and it's like, whoa.
These guys are the ruffians outside of the bar in the beginning of Con Air.
Like, cue the music, the song by Survivor that they wrote just for this movie.
Now, it gets worse. It gets much, much worse. They're kind of talking down. They're like, no, I know how to play chess. And they're like, really? And so they brought a board over to me. And keep in mind,
they think he's going to take the horse pieces and just like make them fight each other.
That's what they're expecting. Like, and keep in mind, these are not like teenagers that like, look at this little sixth grader. These are guys in their 30s and 40s, all wearing matching black chess t-shirts. So they're like, So then you wouldn't mind telling me what that piece, and that piece is. And I guess they're expecting me to say castle, horsey, right. pointy piece. I'm like,
that's top hat, dog, yeah. Monopoly, right?
I'm like rook, knight, bishop. And they're like, okay. They're like, well, our club champion needs an opponent right now. And again, I don't know, maybe I was being smug and I didn't realize it, but I don't know why they were doing this. But they're like, our club champion at your age bracket needs an opponent right now. Would you like to have a friendly little game? And they brought me over to this girl. It was a girl, and she was my age. And she was not like cocky at all. She was like, hi, nice to meet you. Shook my hand. We played a game. She played well. I beat her.
Dude. She got sucked in the same way as Shores. Like, she was hanging out when it was someone else. And they're like, hey, do you know chess? And now they roped her in, and now she's not free until someone else comes in and beats her. So she's like, please find me an opponent.
It's like the It Follows of chess.
Yeah, exactly.
So I beat her. She was very humble about it. She didn't flip the board, you know. You're like, God damn it. She tipped her king and reached her hand out and said, good game, and walked away. She didn't cry or anything. She was like, okay. And all of a sudden, the same 30 or 40-somethings that had previously asked me to play this champion, they said, could you step into our office for a second? And I thought, wow, they're going to make me like their new champion.
He's expecting to take a knee in front of a queen with a sword.
Yeah. So I don't know what they're going to do. I'm like, but at minimum, they're going to ask me to join this little club here. Obviously, I beat their best person at my age.
So now what I'm expecting, they take him in there. They're going to rough him up because they're like, you were the patsy. You were supposed to take a dive, and you showed up our champion.
What if he goes in the back? It's like what happens if you get caught counting cards at a casino.
Yeah, exactly.
They have a circular saw.
Yeah, there's a guy there with a meat cleaver and a cutting board just hitting it repeatedly, quietly.
Can you move that palm with your right hand? Well, now you're going to have to learn. Ah! So anyway, no, they take me back there. And again, I'm expecting them to be like, wow, we didn't realize how good you are. This guy sits me down across from his little desk, which is also a card table.
Yeah.
And he goes, I just want you to know that she was having an off day and you aren't shit as a chess player.
Oh, my God.
You are not good. Do not go around thinking you're good.
He's just negging you.
She was tired, and because you're so bad, you got lucky because she wasn't expecting the dumb moves you made.
They Tito Ortiz do. She had a skull fracture.
Yeah.
She
was... And then like, and he was like, now get out of my office.
Wow.
And I'm like, I remember, and I didn't share any of this with my friend Ross. I didn't share any of it with any grown-ups, as I probably should have. But like, at the time, because I'm in fucking fifth grade, I'm like, oh man, I was bad. Like,
yeah.
that's what you did. A grown-up fucking who's in a position of authority, so like was saying all these curse words to me.
Right.
And I'm like, oh my God. And like the rest of that like sleepover at my friend's house that night, like he's like, you want to play Nintendo? I'm like, nah, really.
I can't play games.
Yeah. No, I'm a shit Nintendo player. If Mario's having an off night, I don't want to exploit that.
It'd be great if like they're sitting there playing Nintendo and the kid's dad came in and they're like, you guys want to come in here for a second? And Ryan's like, no, I'll stop playing right now. I promise. I'm horrible.
No, that's how I felt. And I'm like, and that's one of those things where years later you look back, you're like, what the fuck, guy?
Oh, man.
You said that to a fucking not a 9-year-old? What the fuck is the matter with
that's
you?
That's hilarious.
Yeah. I was just thinking of that just recently because I thought about, hey, whatever happened to Ross McKee? And then all of a sudden, just the PTSD of the chess incident came out. Every time I think of chess, I think of that 40-year-old dickhead fucking saying mean things to me for no reason.
Yeah, it's funny now that, like, I'm a parent now. I'm a new parent. And it's funny now you look back at the things and you have that similar idea of, like, oh, shit, people made some horrible decisions with us before, like, because I was scared of dogs as a kid. And I remember being at a party and there's a line of kids waiting to pet this big old German shepherd.
Waiting to get bit by this dog.
Right. Well, it turns out that was the case. But they were waiting to pet this German shepherd. And my parents were like, hey, go pet that dog. And I was like, no, I'm really scared of dogs. I don't want to pet it. And I was like 4 or 5. And they're like, you got to go pet that dog. Everybody's petting the dog. It's going to look weird if you don't pet the dog.
They're going to think you did something with the dog.
People are going to think it's weird. And I was like, yeah.
Did you put peanut butter on your balls?
I'm really scared about that dog. And they're like, just go do it. And so I wait in line the entire time. I'm seeing that dog. I'm like, that dog looks pissed at
me. There's a fucking line?
Yeah.
How great was this dog?
Dude, this was the 80s, man. There was nothing for kids to do. There was no cell phones. So anyway.
My fucking turn to pet the dog.
So then I go up to pet the dog. And I'm just like reaching towards the dog's head. And all of a sudden just jumps up and bites me in the face. face. And they, of course, they take me to the hospital the whole nine yards. And I remember, like, it was, you know, they had to do surgeries, the whole thing. And the first thing my parents said when I got out, they're like, really messed up with that whole dog thing, didn't you?
They made it your fault?
Oh, yeah, it was 100%
my fault. They made it your fault.
They were like, we had to leave that party. Like, now we've been at the hospital for hours.
You don't get a birthday this year.
You really fucked up this whole dog thing pretty bad. Dude. And I remember thinking in my head, just like you said, I was like a five-year-old kid, and I was like, man, I must have ruined that dog petting real bad. Yeah.
Dude, that sounds like how Shores and I would pretend to be parents as a joke.
You know? Right.
This is what I would do with my kid.
That's what's great, though, is I've told this to my wife before. My wife had these like amazing parents growing up. My parents were fine, but they made a lot of horrible mistakes. I always tell her, I'm like, the goal of every parent, what you want when your kid is born is, I want to be better for this kid than my parents were for me. It's going to be so much easier for me than it is for her.
Oh, dude, being that they did that to you, the perfect way to get them back would be to tell your father, hey, guess what? My first son... going to be named after his grandfather. And he gets all psyched. Yep, Jill's dad. Just to fuck with him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, they were just different kind of parents. From one of them's from a different foreign country, third
they
world country.
They made you think that getting bit by a dog was your fault. What are you talking about? They're monsters.
They were didn't see the way Bobby was reaching in for that dog, man.
Yeah, that's true.
Aggressive.
Later on, when I was like 15, I was surfing and I fell off the board and like got smashed into the sand underneath the waves and got a bad concussion. And I came home and I was like, guys,
like, you really upset the sediment layer on the beach.
Yeah, though. I know, right? I was like, guys, I think I need to go to the hospital. I think I got a concussion. And my mom's like, nah, you're fine. And I was like, no, I really have a concussion. It's real bad. I can tell. Like, I'm woozy. I can't see straight. I can barely walk straight. And she's like, go sleep it off.
sleep with a concussion.
No joke. She said that. Now, some of you may be thinking, well, you said your mom was from a third world country. You know, maybe she didn't know. At that time, she was a registered nurse for 15 years.
the good news is now Bobby can bend spoons with his mind. Right. Ever since then.
Eventually, we ended up going to the hospital, and the doctor's like, I'm so glad you came. This is a really bad concussion. We got to keep you up for the rest of the night.
Another thing that happened over the last couple of weeks is one thing about being a comic is you're constantly... you're going to constantly see threads on social media and other websites about just attacking one another and accusing other comics of not being a real comic because of this, this, and this, or debating the merits of whether or not one comic is funny or not.
Right.
All the time. It happens all the time. I try and ignore that for the most part because
it's mostly directed at him. So he's like, you know what?
Occasionally it is. In this instance, it was.
So, let me just tell you, I went to the Madhouse Comedy Club the other week and I saw this horrible comedian, Mr. Ryan Shores. I recognized him as a chess teacher back in the 1990s.
You ain't shit as a comic. The audience was laughing because they had a bad night.
Yeah, the audience was on off night. You are nothing. Oh, my God.
So that's one thing you'll see a bunch. The other thing you'll see a bunch as a comic is sometimes randomly on a show, you'll see someone doing what they think is comedy. And I'm not saying they're bad at telling jokes. I'm saying they'll go up there and not do stand-up at all. They'll just do something weird. I've seen a kid jump up and down and mime paint.
That guy's great. He kills.
Oh, yeah. Brian Peaceraft. I forget.
I've seen a dude do costumes. All he has is about this furry wolf costume that he puts on and stands up there.
Yeah. No, I told you that one time that I saw a guy went up like dressed in a bear costume holding balloons and did bear puns. I mean, that was closer to stand-up than some of this shit, but like and a lot of people are like, hey man, who are you to say that art is bad? I'm like, they're not following the prompt,
right?
You know, so
now there is alt comedy, I mean, to be fair, but this is like outside the realm even of that,
right? So this one night I was doing a show and one person they had opening for me, it was at a bar, it was not a club, it was this girl who went up with a ukulele and a boombox. And I remember turning to the promoter, Adam, like, what the fuck is this? And he goes, I don't know. She'd been pestering me forever, and I needed to fill a spot. I'm like, did you even vet her at all? He's like, no, I'm beginning to regret that. And so anyway, she goes up with a ukulele and does like a parody song. I think it was like 4 9 non-blondes. Hey, what's up? Only it's about her sleeping with dudes. I'm like, timely.
And I know this was recent, too. So like 20 years after the song was written.
Yeah. This was about a year ago, I think. And then I guess she only knew one song on the ukulele. So for the rest, her act was all parody songs. She just took out the boombox, which she couldn't get working properly. And
technical issues.
She probably used up like 5 of her 10 minutes trying to get the boombox to work. And then played the original version of the song and just tried to shout over the lyrics because she couldn't get the instrumental version. And as she was doing this, six people got up and left. Like, individually. There weren't a group of six that all went, let's pay the check. It was like, one, two. And I'm headlining, so I'm like, God damn it, get her off. So he has to light her so that no more people would leave, right?
Yeah.
So going back to people arguing online, a friend of mine forwarded me a screenshot of a thread that was about me. It was some people saying, Ryan ain't shit, he ain't a good comic. Some was saying, dude, Ryan works all the time. He makes a lot of money doing this. What are you saying? He's not a real comic. And then one person I didn't recognize, her name was Lori Scroggins, I think her name was. It was like, I don't care how much he works. That guy's completely unfunny. I'm like, fine, whatever. And then I ignored
teach
it.
Their own.
Teach their own. I ignored it. Then in a separate group, like a few days later, I see the same person like apropos of nothing, Ryan Shore sucks at comedy. And then like I made a post and I saying like, hey, how do you feel when friends say, hey, I thought you were going to suck, but you were pretty good. Do you take it as a compliment or not? This same person who's been like in all these threads about me, obsessed with me for some reason, chimes in and is like, well, you must have had a good night that night because usually you fucking suck. And I'm like, who is this person? I go,
it's the girl from the chess thing in the 90s. She's still pissed about it.
Yeah. It was fucking ukulele girl.
In all caps along a bunch of the next one, they're like, I actually think Ryan's pretty good. And she's like, I was an off night. It was not my fault. I'm better than him.
So anyway, this person who fucking walked people and can't even tell jokes, again, this is one of these people that's like, I'd like to do stand-up but can't do stand-up, so I'm just going to do this. You know, I'm all for people being critical of art, being critical of comics as audience members, you know? I never like that argument when I go, Nickelback sucks, and they go, how many records have you sold? No, that's not what we're arguing on. However, if the guy from Creed said Nickelback sucked, you'd be like, whoa, not you. Better example, having someone that sucks so badly at something criticize you, it'd be like this. If your English teacher in eighth grade said, okay, you're going to do a book report on the book Summer of My German Soldier, and she came in with a model of a volcano and then couldn't get it to work, and then half of it fucking just broke off, and three people from the class just left, and then she sat down and went, all right, next up is Ryan. And I went, Summer of My German Soldier is a novel about a young girl in the 1940s, and she went, boo! You suck at book reports, bro! You suck at book reports!
She's not wrong. I mean, she's not wrong. Come on.
Yeah, but you? With the volcano?
Now, interesting, I didn't know about all the other stuff. I did see the post where she was like, where Ryan was like, what do you think about when your friends say they thought you'd suck, you were good? And I saw her comment, and then Ryan replied to that, and she said, hey, I'm just razzing you, man. Like, just trying to play it off as if...
Right, as if all these other ones didn't exist.
What do you think you did? That's my question. Like, what crossed her the wrong way? Because you also have to think, when you're a new comic, I remember being a new comic, I would see horrible comics. I would see people, even established comics, who were horrible. There was one I can think of, I'm not going to name him, but every time he came up, I was like, why is this guy an established guy in the San Diego scene? He's not even telling real jokes. He's just making weird voices. He's fucking horrible.
Yeah.
But I still wouldn't go online and say that, because I'm like, oh, I'm a new comic, what do I know, blah, blah, blah,
right,
blah, blah.
Right.
What could have possibly caused her to hate you so much that she's going to go like, fuck social norms, fuck putting myself on blast, because now my own comedy is going to be judged more harshly when people then go, well, what does she know? I need to talk shit about this guy. What have you done?
I have no idea. Again, I think she might be that girl from the chess club.
It's the only thing that makes sense.
The only thing that makes sense.
Or it's her sister, like, seeking vengeance.
She killed herself after that day. She was having an off day.
This is like a real B-movie Kill Bill.
And she's so fucking dense. I was like, don't you just yell over a boombox parody songs? And she's like, yes, that's right, I do.
Yeah, that's me. Oh, you see me.
Yeah.
She was just excited that you knew her brand. She was like, oh my God.
I'm really making some waves. Like, I think of you every time I think of what it looks like when people do something that's not comedy. Another person that wasn't too happy with me, some drunk guy tried to fight me at a supermarket 2 weeks ago.
How does this always happen to you?
I feel like that's twice a week for you, honestly. I don't know.
I do take some responsibility. I do, because he got into his head that I was looking at him weird. To be fair, I fucking was. He was being a fucking buffoon. The guy was stumbling like back and forth. He was like,
well, hold on. Now, is this Vaughn's at 4:30 in the afternoon, or is this like a liquor store at 12 at night?
This is a good question. This is Albertson's, 6:30 p.m. Sunday. So this guy had been day drinking all day, obviously. All
right.
And now while I'm trying to buy dinner for me and Aaron, this guy's in there going, Vaughn! Down the range, their beer in the antelope.
He's yelling that over a boombox that he's carrying with him.
Need notes, bro.
They fired me from my gig as a chess teacher because I was talking inappropriately to people. Shit went crazy after that. Anyway, so I was just kind of staring at him, like, kind of like, what the fuck? Hold it together. As I'm in line, and he's buying more beer, and all of a sudden he catches me staring at him. He goes, what? What, bitch? Also black guy, so he started getting racial about it. What, you white bitch? What, fucking white bitch? What? Fuck you. Fuck you. And, like, I had a decision to make. I'm like, 10 years ago, I would have loved to fight this guy because he's in the wrong, and he's probably seeing double, so I could just beat him with just jabs. I'm like, it'd be easy. I could probably, like, dance around and showboat a little bit. It'd be fun. I'm like, all right, but... I'm on my way home to my fiance to make dinner and have a nice rest of our Sunday evening. And if I fight him in an Albertsons, I'm definitely going to jail.
Ryan's looking around for, like, props. He's like, this is going to be so easy. What if I just grab that meat stick and be like, slap him with the Slim Jim?
Yeah, where's your boombox? Anyway, so I'm like, but at the same time, I have this flaw where I can't let him get away with just yelling out insults.
Right. I don't know if that's a flaw. That's a pretty standard
reaction. I think you go Dave Cowan's style on that and just be super passive aggressive to him.
You know, I don't want him to get away with it.
Right.
But I'm like looking around like, how can I make him pay for this? How can I fucking do something in return without punching him and going to jail? Also, if I get a shouting match with a drunk guy, he's just going to keep yelling, white bitch, no matter how clever I am.
Honestly, that's almost worse to get in a shouting match than fighting him.
Yeah. So anyway, finally, I'm like, you know what? I know one thing about in all my travels about drunk people. They don't care really about getting their ass kicked. They don't. No. I mean, they don't feel
they're barely going to remember. In their mind, they will have won the fight.
Yeah, by the time they wake up tomorrow, it's like, yeah, this guy, he was being racist in Albertsons. Yeah.
And I was standing up for myself.
And I said, no, sir, you will not say that in here. And he said,
sucker punched me.
Yeah. That's what's going to be in his mind. So I'm like, I don't want that. So what I want is for him to not have that fucking beer because I know one thing, they do care about being cut off from alcohol.
Absolutely.
So I lean in the cashier. I'm like, are you really going to sell that guy? Because she saw the whole thing. She's watching this drunk guy shout at me. And I'm like, are you really going to sell him that beer? Do you really think that's a smart idea? And her response, like a deer in headlights, like I gave her a look like, I'm going to fucking tell on you if you sell that guy beer. So she just kind of like slowly shook her head no. I'm like, very good.
Now, was he at the point where he was like getting rung up at that point, or was he still two people behind?
He was two people behind me.
Wow.
So there was still two people.
That's awesome.
So do you walk out and then just stop and wait at the door to watch him get disappointed?
I waited in my car so he wouldn't see me to sit down to start the fight again. But I waited in my car and I saw him storm out without beer, yelling shit back at the Albertsons. Fuck y'all, you're all racist. Yeah. You're all racist.
That's fantastic.
You should have driven by with like holding a beer in your hand. Hey, how's it going, bud?
Ooh, looks like you're not getting one of these. And then down at like Stone Cold Steve Austin.
See, now that, in my opinion, that's perfect vigilante justice. Fucking A-game.
Absolutely.
Right there. Amazing. Yeah. I loved it.
We've been off for like 2 weeks, guys. I want to ask you, have either of you gotten to see The Big Sick?
I have not.
It's on my list. I haven't seen it yet.
Let me just say, I went and saw it. One of the funniest movies I've seen in years. It is absolutely fantastic. Camille Nanjumani, I'm sure I'm pronouncing his name
Bless
wrong.
You.
But
sorry, that was so hacky.
He's the guy from Silicon Valley. Fucking hilarious. It's the true story of how he met his wife.
I heard that.
And it's super interesting, super well done, just a good movie in general, but also hilarious. It's got the funniest 9/11 joke I've ever heard, which is saying something for somebody who's an aficionado of 9/11 jokes. It is just absolutely.
Yeah, I definitely want to see it. It looks good. Yeah. That little plug you did, though, that sounds like when a radio DJ is like, hey, man, I just got a new mattress. Yeah. You know what? It sleeps so well. Have you ever heard of Mattress Firm? And the other one's like, oh, yeah, I heard they're great.
Yeah, hey,
like,
Camille, are we getting free start tickets? Paying me. Come on.
Are we getting free tickets to the movie for this plug? Is it going?
It is legitimately hilarious. It's like one of the few movies that I've watched in the last few years where you actually laugh out loud in the theater. It is really good.
Sorry, pretty stingy with your laughs there, huh, Bobby? I see a lot of funny movies. I don't know what your deal is.
So I may not be the only person in entertainment in my family anymore.
There's that interesting.
So that dog of yours is finally getting that Albo commercial, huh?
Yeah, after he bit a kid, his contract got torn up.
I tell him to play chess. He's pretty good. I now have an extended family because I'm getting married.
Right.
And I have a cousin, a new cousin in Alabama, Aaron's cousin. She shares her good looks. I'll give her that. She's also everything you'd expect from an Alabama girl. And
cousin in Alabama. I knew this was off to a good start already. That's
she's a sweet girl. She's a sweet girl.
Oh, absolutely.
I wouldn't call her educated, but that's not important. She's sweet. She's nice.
There's a lot of stuff you can do without an education.
Yeah.
Married a guy who's got a lot of money, lot of money. Anyway, she is trying out for a new show that they've pitched out there, The Real Housewives of Alabama.
They didn't even go with the city. They actually went, they had to go with the whole state. Right?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, they're not going to find they're not going to find, who's in Birmingham? So they try to cast Birmingham. It's going to be like one rich lady sitting by herself. Like, who's she going to throw cocktails at? So anyway, she submitted a video, and I have to tell you, I think accidentally, she nailed the video. Not for the reasons I think that she thinks she nailed it for. Let me explain. The real appeal of the Real Housewives franchise is to see train wrecks, no?
Right, absolutely.
Well, her video, I guess she needed some liquid courage to do it. She appears very intoxicated, and it starts to, and you start to realize, everyone in this room likes a good cocktail. I'm not judging, but you start to learn some things from it. For instance, she's like, "Hey, y'all." She's on her balcony. Oh, it's like, "It's a beautiful morning." I'm like, morning?
Is she holding a drink?
No, she's holding a phone and gesturing with her other hand like Vanna White. And so at first I'm like, all right, she's smashed, but whatever. I get smashed all the time. She's like, "It's a beautiful morning." I'm like, morning? listen, I have cracked a beer in the morning. I'm not saying I haven't. I have never in my life been hammered before noon.
Especially when, if you think about it, in essence, what she's doing is taping a job interview.
Yes.
Yeah. But a job interview to be a train wreck.
Yeah, so, I mean, okay, fair enough.
But I don't think she realizes that that's why she's probably going to get chosen. Because if I was a fucking producer saying, "It's a beautiful morning and I'm very drunk," I'd be like licking my lips.
Yeah, like I think the people who submit to be on the show, they're like, "Oh, this is glamorous. This is fame. I'm going to be a star." The people who watch the show are like, "This is Cops without people going to jail."
Right. This is Cops for rich white ladies.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
That's what's funny about it if you think about it. So it's not like a lot of people who want to be famous or whatever because they think they're going to get money. These people obviously already have money. All the people on these shows already have money. That's the prerequisite for walking in the door.
Right.
But they then choose to degrade themselves in ways that are oftentimes very overly produced and clearly fake, but still portray this person in the most negative light possible, not as a character, but as they themselves. Their character is their actual name. They're playing themselves, but in a way that makes them look like really, really horrible. And the reward isn't any more money. They're already loaded with money. Their reward is some kind of fame. So think of the level of weird narcissism you have to have to be like, "For the rest of my life, I want my kids to see this. I want my grandkids to see this."
To them, they don't look horrible. They look past that part. They're like, "I'm famous. Everybody knows who I am.
I get a table in any restaurant now."
Yes.
I think they still know that they're horrible. They just think
I'm with Dave.
I think they think they're horrible and famous, but they think the fame is worth it.
There might be a couple who are like, "I'm a fucking horrible person." And that. But I think for the most part, they don't see that as being horrible. They're like, "Yeah, I'm a big star now."
So anyways, this video goes on, and like I'm learning more and more because I've never met her face-to-face. And so she's like,
"Your first introduction to your new cousin."
Yeah, and she's like, and at one point she's like, "Thank you, baby Jesus, for this day, and happy Wednesday." I'm like, "It's Wednesday. It's also Wednesday."
Wow.
We're not even talking Sunday morning. We are midweek morning drunk. And then she's like, "Anyway, I don't know what I'm going to do the rest of my day because my husband tells me what to do with my days." And like braggadociously, she wasn't like saying like, "My husband's too controlling." She's like, "Luckily for me, my husband tells me what to do at all times." And I'm like, I was watching this. I'm like, first of all, she's definitely getting the job. Right? She's definitely. Secondly, I think I might watch this show even if she wasn't my new cousin-in-law. I think I would just watch it for this because this is great.
I think it's funny the idea that her husband tells her what to do all day. Like one day she comes out and they have big vaulted ceilings and there's just a gym rope going up to the thing and he's got a whistle and he's like, climb. Yo.
What if the husband was like, you know what? You're getting drunk this morning and filming a video. What if it's not her fault? Yeah. What if he's like, dance, monkey, dance.
She's sitting in there with horn-rimmed glasses, accounting, like balancing their checkbook.
And he sets down a bottle and is like, drink this now.
Well, I have to.
Evan Williams. So it doesn't end there. So I see the video. I'm like, holy Jesus. I'm like, that's going to be great. And so then Aaron gets a text from her. Apparently, her Bible thumping mother is furious.
I wonder why. I wonder why this doesn't happen more often. I wonder why more times people who do this don't have their like parents or their family or somebody come in and be like, hey, you can't do this. You can't just act like an asshole and a drunken idiot online to get attention. You're making the rest of us look bad. It's just you. You have kids.
Honestly, I was half expecting Shores to say that Aaron got a text from her saying, help, my husband is ruining my life. He's making me do all these crazy things.
No, so she showed me the whole fucking, the whole thread of between her cousin and her cousin's mother. Just like, you have embarrassed this family for the last time. You are disowned.
This is awesome.
So first of all, I guarantee you it's not the last time.
So she disowned her for trying to get on the Real Housewives of Alabama. I don't know if I'm for or against that idea.
What is the disowning process? How exactly? Like, do you just send a text?
Do you have to declare?
Like, is there like a ceremony? Is it like when you christen a
Alabama,
ship?
In Alabama, you do need to wave the Bible at them.
Break a bottle over their head.
Well, for my family, it is evidently getting a drunken fist fight at a wedding and then just not hearing from some people. And then 4 years later, finding out you're disowned. And then 3 years after that, finding out you're back in. You're fine.
You know what? It's funny. We have these traditions for, like, if you're going to get married and you want to propose, you're going to bend on one knee and give her a ring. Like, that's kind of an arbitrary thing, but that's a longstanding tradition. You know, we have all these weird traditions for certain moments in our lives. We need to come up with a tradition for disowning. We need to come up with a whole ceremony, some type of thing you do when somebody has finally pushed it to the limit where you disown it. I mean...
I got it.
Okay.
So we talked recently about the ice game.
Right.
Where you present someone with a bottle of Smirnoff ice, they have to drink it.
Yes.
That concept, but it's a bottle of Zima.
And that means you've been disowned.
Yeah, so if you sneakily present them a bottle of Zima, like, oh, shit, they have to drink it, and then they're disowned.
Judging from the way she was in that video, I think the way that she plays iced is that it's an actual bottle of Smirnoff vodka, and you have to down that, and you find, like, it's a beautiful day.
Also, who gets to decide? Like, does it have to be a vote, or, like, how does that work?
Oh, on the way over here, by the way, I was, you ever choose the wrong fucking line at either the grocery store or the drugstore or something? I always feel like I'm like, I
you always choose the line with a drunk guy, two people behind you yelling.
Yeah.
I always choose the self-checkout because I think it's more efficient.
Oh, absolutely.
And then I look at people going through the self-checkout and I feel like we need a system. We need a system whereby every time you go by through a self-checkout, whether you're in Walmart, the supermarket, Home Depot, there's a camera that gauges your time length.
Yes.
And if you take too long, you are not allowed in the self-checkout for a month. And then you constantly get punished and monitored. And people like myself, like, I treat the self-checkout like somebody just knocked on my door in 1943 Germany and I'm a Jewish refugee and they yelled, hide. Like, I pull everything out and I'm scanning it as quickly as possible.
Yeah. That was a long way to go for a reference there.
Self-checkout for me, I'm the pit crew at the Indy
500. Yeah, exactly.
Go, 100. Move.
I am, especially if there's a line behind me, I'm like panicking and looking back. My wife comes, she's like, did we forget the cheese? And I'm like, leave the cheese! Go!
We will
go!
The cheese!
Go! I have the credit card in the thing before I'm even like done checking everything through.
How about this? In the self-checkout aisle, at each of the self-checkout stations, there's a cashier there to assist you.
Right.
To sort of help you.
Yeah. Defeat the purpose, for sure.
I think it'd be great if it was like a coxswain that does like rowing, you know, like the rowing coxswain. He's there, he's like, go! Go!
No.
There's a timer. If you don't get all your items rung up in a certain time, you lose those other items.
No, more like that guy in like Ben-Hur when he's on the slave ship, the guy playing the drum. Boom, 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 boom. No, okay. So, no, that's true. The thing is, I've always said to everyone, I have no problem with self-checkout. In itself, I have a problem with all the boobs that are in front of me. Every time, I watch the guy with daggers in my eyes, and he goes, "Excuse me, it says cash or card." Well, which are you paying with? Cash. Huh? Well, then you'd hit cash. Oh. I'm like, God! I'm like squeezing tomatoes in my fucking cart.
Like, when I fuck up on the self-checkout, sometimes it's not your fault that scans the barcode wrong or someone's like, attendant required.
Yeah.
I feel like I did something. I'm like,
too.
Oh, shit, please come over and fix this right away.
I turn to the line like, ladies and gentlemen, I assure you this had nothing to do with my own competence.
I just start screaming because I got to get the person over there to fix it as quickly as possible. I just like, I need an adult.
Just make sure it's not that chess asshole.
Yeah.
He'll berate you. But anyways, and I'm always gauging when there's people involved, too. Like, for instance, I've always said this. If you have to choose between a 35-year-old man buying 100 items and an old woman buying one item, get behind the dude because that old lady's going to like try to give her bus passes, a credit card.
Absolutely.
She's not going to understand why these coupons from 1971 don't work. It's going to be a whole thing. So, I mean, you know, but every time I choose, I always choose wrong. I always see, that line's moving past.
Yep.
Yeah,
and one such thing happened at CVS on the way over here. I was with Groobs. And we're buying one item. And I was like, okay, old lady over here. All right. And young guy over here. I got behind the young guy. I'm like, all right, here, we're good. So all of a sudden, right when he gets to the cashier, he pulls out this pack of Q-tips, mind you, very inexpensive item, along with some receipts.
Oh, my God.
And coupons, and goes, nobody told me that these are on special. Will you give me the cash difference or? And he's like, no, sir. You have to return the item, then use this coupon, then rebuy the item. And he's like, now wait a minute. I'm like, I start doing the math in my head, and so did Groobs.
Yeah.
He leans to me. He's like, if my time is ever so invaluable,
right,
that I find myself squabbling in a CVS that I had to drive back to.
Yes, he had to come back to the CVS to make that transaction happen. You lost more in gas money.
Yes, that's
I will be halfway to the car, notice I got charged too much, and I'm not going to turn around.
No,
like, that's too much.
I have to gauge the money because, like, sometimes I'm like, all right, how much money do I usually make in an hour?
Right.
Okay, all right. Now, how much is this going to save me? You know, I think the only time where I negated that was when I first bought my house and we have a fireplace, and those bundles of wood are about $7.99. I'm like, oh, I'm going to start cutting my own wood. It takes me about 3 hours to come up with that much wood. I'm like, unless I make, $1 an hour, I'm not saving any money here. But I'm like, it's satisfying, though. So I kept doing it.
Yeah.
I just imagine that guy, too. Can you imagine him on the drive back to the CVS just huffing and puffing? Like,
just seething with anger.
I can't believe that cashier screwed me. I mean, he knew the whole time it was on sale.
And after that, he's talking to the cashier. He's like, plus, I drove 7.4 miles, so my car gets 30 miles per gallon. You owe me.
Yeah. No, yeah. I'm like, how fucking invaluable is your time? The reason I'm bringing this up, every listener of this show, I want you to always be thinking, if you're about to squabble over, like, a receipt or something, how much is your time worth? Is it worth this much?
Also, feel free to throw some shade at people doing that, which I always love to do passive aggressively.
How would you do it, Bobby?
Well, like, so if he's doing that and he's doing it, you can either do it kind of what I would imagine be the Dave Callens way, which is to over-enthusiastically support him from behind the line, but in a passive-aggressive way. So, like, you yell at the cashier, like, yeah, how dare you cheat him out of his 17 cents? You guys are crooks!
I know. No, I'd come up like, excuse me, attorney here. I think we have a case.
Or, hey, don't worry about us, bud. It's worth it for us for you to get this justice. This is important to everybody here.
I also love this guy. The guy that at the end of his purchase wants to give his receipt a once-over and then play Let's Make a Deal.
Right.
Like, he wants to, like, haggle over his items like it's a Turkish fucking bazaar.
Dude, what I would actually do, I don't know if I'd do this, but what I want to do, the guy who's whining over like 89 cents, I would like step over like, what's the price difference? 89 cents? Okay, here's a dollar. Will you please fucking
I have done that. Yeah. I have done that. And you know what has happened like the 3 or 4 times where I'm like, is it a dollar? Here's the dollar. Yeah. Every single time? No, they've rejected it. It's the principle.
Yeah, they want the dollar from them, not from you.
Yeah, they don't want it from you. No. Keep your money. I don't need your money. I'm like, obviously you do. Anyway, the two of us have a show in about 3 or 4 hours, don't we? And then we got the UFC fight tonight.
Yeah.
All right, who are you taking? Let's do the top three title fights.
Okay.
All right, so the first there's...
I think we can all agree Cyborg.
Cyborg's going to take the women's strap, yeah.
Yep.
But how dominantly? Let's talk about that. I think first round.
One more important question is how? Because she is, you know, she's an excellent kickboxer, but people don't realize she's really good on the ground, too. So is this going to be punch a little bit and then go for the submission when they've essentially given up? Or is this a KO, TKO type situation?
Strikes. I'm calling it by strikes.
Strikes.
I think that would be how she would make her name and how she would really kind of come out and be like, this is, I'm Cyborg motherfucker.
Yeah, because she needs to make her name. Nobody knows who she is.
Well, a lot of people in the UFC haven't seen that level of striking from a female, with the exception maybe of Holly Holm, but she has a kind of different style. This is a brutal form of
kickboxing. She is female Tyson, man.
Yeah.
I feel like this is her first shot at a belt, right?
Yeah,
for UFC.
So I think she's just come out brutally, just dominant, strike, just knock the shit out of her.
Yeah, I'm saying strikes first round, Dave.
Yeah, same.
I think it goes into round two, strikes though.
Next is the Woodley fight for the middleweight belt. Oh, welterweight, sorry.
Now, this is great, too, because this is against Damian Maia, who is not even joking, one of the best Brazilian jiu-jitsu practitioners on earth, much less in MMA. There's about two or three guys who are at the top level of BJJ who are also in MMA, so they are the best in the world at BJJ, and they fight in MMA, and he is definitely, if not number one, certainly in the top three of those. Absolutely dominant fighter in Tyrone Woodley with his wrestling and striking and explosive qualities. I say this is one of those anybody's game type thing, because both of these guys have knockout power just in different ways. Damian Maia's knockout power is he'll throw a fucking flying armbar and submit you while you're standing. He is that good. Tyrone Woodley's is he's going to hit you with this bomb and knock you across the ring. I say the longer it goes, the better chance Maia has, because Tyrone Woodley's going to get gassed. So I say Woodley's got a good chance of doing it, but his wrestling is neutralized by the really high-end ground game of Damian Maia. I think Damian Maia by submission somewhere in the later rounds, 3-5.
Oh, that's exactly what I said. I got Maia in the third round by sub.
I was thinking Maia third round sub. It's mostly because I don't like Woodley that much.
I don't like
everything I've seen about him. He's kind of an asshole. And when he first took the belt, he looks like a scary motherfucker.
Yeah.
Like, he looked like he would just wreck everyone.
Yeah.
But since watching him go the distance with Wonderboy twice, right, I'm like, okay, maybe he's not that much of a monster.
But
so I think Maia can take
I would say this. That's not a fair comparison. Wonderboy Thompson is one of the best.
I'm not saying he's not, but it's...
So.
All right, and then finally, the headlining fight. John Jones versus DC.
Dude, first of all, for those of you guys who aren't huge MMA fans, we all got cock-teased by this at UFC 200 like a year back, because this fight was supposed to happen then. This is a rematch fight. John Jones could not be beaten, basically never has been.
We were cock-teased with it twice, because once Cormier got injured,
right,
and once Jones failed a drug test.
Right.
So that's twice.
Yeah. And Jones has never really been beaten.
No.
And so he is a dominant
fighter.
His
one loss on his record is an illegal elbows. He's dominating Matt Hamill.
Yeah. And so he is an insanely dominant fighter. But here's the deal. He hasn't been in the octagon in like 2+ years.
Right.
And the last time he was against Oliver St. Preux, he didn't look that good.
Right.
He did not look like the John Jones we're used to. Two things might have happened. One is he could be getting off and getting lazy, and two is the game could have just passed him by, because John Jones was dominant in a time when guys with a true MMA-type background didn't exist as much, and he was one of the first. He might not be as special now in the modern-day UFC, even 2 years later. And he's been off. He just doesn't have the reps, doesn't have the practice, doesn't have the experience. He's not a fighter. He hasn't been a fighter. That being said, he's a fucking superhuman.
Right.
He dominated DC last time. It didn't even look like a contest to me. I say it's a little bit closer this time. I don't think DC can pull it off if John Jones is in good shape. Always depends which John Jones shows up in the ring. I say John Jones by decision.
Exactly my same thing.
Jones decision.
Yep.
All right, let's do a bonus one just because it's going to be fun.
Okay.
Lawler, Cerrone.
Oh, this is good. This is good. So Cowboy Cerrone fighting Robbie Lawler, the ex-champion and the old school brawler. I say I love Cerrone's leg kicks. I love Robbie Lawler.
I love his combinations.
Yeah. And I love Robbie Lawler's kind of run forward and just never stop going and pressing the action attitude. Regardless of who wins this fight, this is going to be an awesome striking match to watch. Probably it might even upset some of those three championship fights as the best fight on this ticket. I am going to go on this one just because I have I really love the tactical advantage leg kicks give. I'm going to go Cerrone by some kind of TKO or knockout somewhere in the third.
I'm going to say Cerrone TKO second.
Okay.
I love both these guys. Two of my favorite fighters. It's almost like the immovable object meets the irresistible force.
Right?
So you can take Cerrone is a fucking beast. He fights all the time, short notice, everything. He's a monster. Lawler is a wrecking machine. Yep. I got Lawler TKO third.
All right.
Very nice.
And by the way, when this episode airs, you can look up all these, the fight will have happened, so you can look this up and see how accurate we were.
And then harass whoever was the most wrong.
Right. But worship me, please. especially if you're Lori. Okay, that's called a week. I'm Ryan for Dave and Bobby saying see you next week, cruising with the twos.
Leave the cheese.
Let's go.
We will
go.
Be the cheese. Yeah, time passing by. Oh, yeah, time passing by. Oh, motherfucking time is passing by.